Guten Tag.
Hello.
Welcome back. This is Greek Chic. I am Ashley.
And I am Katie.
We're here with another story from the ancient times for your listening pleasure.
For your listening offence.
Yeah, for your... Let's just leave it for your listening and we'll leave the rest up to you. Before we start, our usual disclaimer. Greek myth is... I love how you cover your face so you don't laugh.
I have to brace for this now.
Greek myth is an oral tradition passed down mouth to mouth, generation to generation. There's no original source material. There's no primary material. So there are lots of different versions. The version I tell might not be your favourite, but it's my favourite. So if you don't like it, start your own podcast.
Wee.
How are you?
I'm not gonna lie, had a really bad week.
Yay!
For, you know, we don't hide things here.
Nope.
We normalise life on this podcast. And yeah, I've my mental health's been like down the drain this week.
It seems to be doing a lot better now though.
I'm on new medication.
That's fun.
Because I was off it for months and that was a whole mistake.
Yay! We live and we learn though, Oh, hang on till I get comfy. My old bones.
I know, I've been sitting on one of my legs for like 2 hours and now I have to stretch.
We're so ancient.
Yeah.
Not as ancient as the story I shall tell today, though. I'm really excited to tell this story because... So we're doing Antigone.
Yes.
And this could easily be a story about me and you.
Interesting.
So
can't wait.
Antigone has a sister, Ismene.
Aww.
Yeah.
And my sister.
They love each other very much, but they're very different.
Okay.
So Antigone's, like, tempestuous and principled, but to the point of, like, can you chill out a wee bit? Like, as you'll see, her principles really get in her way. And Ismene's just as principled, but a little bit more measured and more, more like, do you maybe want to, like, take a second to think, Antigone? And Antigone's like, no! I have thoughts and feelings. So, I mean, if that's not me and you.
It's interesting, though, that I can do that with you, but I can't do it with myself.
Yeah.
I can't encourage myself to think first.
I do think, though, like, you are, I wouldn't say more sensible than me, but less, maybe more risk averse.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And it's not that I'm not risk averse, it's just that I don't think through consequences.
I actually think a lot of it comes from shyness in me.
Oh,
so I don't end up in situations like that because I'm too, like, reserved.
Yeah. Like, if we end up in a sticky situation, like that time that we went out and ended up with, like, a group of men who I'd befriended, and you were like, let's not invite a whole-ass group
they
of...
turned out to be fine.
Yeah, no, but you were like, let's not invite a whole-ass group of men to your house. Like,
I genuinely saved me and a friend of mine, I think, I'm almost certain, from something really bad in Dublin.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Because of exactly those instincts.
Yeah, whereas I'd be like, it's fine, should not be fine.
Yeah, it's a long story, I'm not going to tell it, but I'm almost certain something bad was going to happen. I had really, like, bad intuition.
Oh.
But, and I was drunk, and I still was like, no.
I have just no... I don't know if it's an ADHD thing, like, no consequence awareness.
It could be my lack of ADHD is, like, really all of the difference.
My impulsivity.
Yeah.
But also, like, that being principled and, like, I will run off at the mouth regardless of, like, what I think is what I think. And once I've made up my mind on something, like... I will run my fucking mouth, and it's a pain in the arse because sometimes I do change my mind. Like, I hate it when I start arguing with someone and I am, like, so fucking righteous in my argument. Maya! Sorry, Maya's eating Katie, as usual.
Why you attack me?
I'll fucking, in that argument, like, till the death. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be like, oh, fuck, I've actually, you know, they're right. But I've committed.
But that's a good quality, though, that you can change your mind based on new information.
Yeah, and
so
many
people can.
I'll always apologise if I know that I've just been a dick for the sake of being a dick. Or if it was like, I struggle to sort of know what's a passing emotion. And what's a, like, deep-rooted arc of mine,
well,
like...
as a borderline, hardly.
Yeah.
Because, like, one of the ways they describe one of those symptoms is, like, whatever you're feeling at the time, you can't possibly imagine or remember feeling any other way.
Yeah. That's like me when I've got a blocked nose.
That is everyone when they've got a blocked nose.
See, when I had COVID, I was literally sat in the toilet. Like, I was like, I can't believe all those times I took for granted that I could smell.
You're like, imagine just breathing.
Yeah. I was like, honestly, imagine not my sinuses not trying to make their way out of my face. I'm fine now, though.
I get that with getting nausea. Like, I've always said that I've got quite a high threshold for pain, but I cannot tolerate feeling sick.
Oh.
Can't. I bear it. It's like torture.
Oh my God. I'm all right with being sick. I can very much, like, puke and carry on. Like, I'm...
Oh, no, same. I'm very good
at being sick.
But I'm talking about that thing when it's, like, you'll lie there for hours just feeling you sick get that, like, and nothing happens.
I was like that last Saturday. Oh my God. I was hanging out my arse. And I had to go for lunch with my family.
Oh, God.
And my mum, like,
much.
I turned up, like, wearing makeup from the night before, like, fucking dying. And my mum was like, were you out last night? And I was like, what? And she went, you look dreadful. And I was like, yeah, no, I was, yeah. And she was like, she just looked at me and she went, you slag.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah.
I could only dream of that kind of relationship with my mum.
My mum literally called me a slag. And the worst part is, she's not wrong.
Well, I wasn't going to say it.
I'm not, I feel like I've, no, I feel like I've calmed down a lot recently.
Recently being like the last week or so.
The last, like, month.
No, I no, you have. You
I've
have.
Chilled out. I've stopped with the fuckboy shit.
For now.
So yeah, Antigone.
Okay.
I feel like she had fuckboy potential. I feel like if she'd been born in a different place and time.
I'm sorry, but I'm gonna yeet your cat.
I'm quite willing for that. Maya, can you go and like take yourself a walk?
She can bite my feet.
Hamilton, take a walk. So yeah, Antigone. So where did we leave Thebes? Creon.
Oedipus
plucked his eyes out.
Yeah.
So Creon, who is Jocasta's brother,
okay,
he exiles Oedipus. And Antigone and Oedipus go wandering. She is his eyes through the wilderness. And she's his daughter, but also his half sister. And Jocasta was her mum, but also her grandmother. It's probably best that we don't. I'll need to draw you a graph.
Alabama.
Holy daddy, here she goes.
Hey.
So she's like wandering around, and she's the only one of the four kids who is kind of loyal to Oedipus.
Aww.
And Oedipus...
that's really sad.
Yeah. And Oedipus is really sad. But they end up in this lovely... he didn't know. And he was horrified enough to pluck out his fucking eyes when he found out. So yeah, they go wandering, and it's said that wherever Oedipus dies, that place will be blessed. And Oedipus is dying.
Okay.
And Creon comes to them and he's like, yo guys, Oedipus, do you want to come back to Thebes? And he's like, do you fuck?
Nice.
And...
we all know those family members.
Yeah, he's like, we're kind of in the middle of a little civil war. And they're like, explain. So basically, once Oedipus left the throne vacant, Polynices and Eteocles, the sons, they couldn't decide who was to be in charge. And so what they've decided to do is they are taking it turnabout. So one year Polynices is king, and then it switches over, and Eteocles is king, and then it switches over, and it's back to Polynices.
Imagine if like modern day monarchy was like that.
Imagine if modern day monarchy was abolished.
Yeah, I mean, like, that was the first choice.
I have one of those like sleep talking recorder, because I talk in my sleep like much, as you can tell by how much I talk when I'm awake.
I don't think I've ever heard you talk in your sleep.
Yeah, I do it all the time. I do it quite a lot as I'm falling asleep. So often, like, you'll be in the middle of a conversation with me and I'll hit out with something, like, a complete non sequitur. And it'll be like, what?
My ex
like,
used to I'm talk sorry. Sleep. One of them, my favourite ones was, he went, oh, that's such a good idea, because you could interact with him.
I'm like that too.
He went, oh, that's such a good idea. And I went, what is? And he went, need to put better tunes on. So it was my favourite thing.
My sleep recorder app, I'll upload this to Instagram, it's brilliant. Just me in the middle of the night going, why don't we offset energy prices by abolishing the monarchy?
Like, you're like this even in
your sleep. I listened to it in the morning and I was like, Amazing. I mean, why don't we though?
Like 100%.
Why don't we offset energy prices by abolishing the monarchy?
It's a bad state of affairs when you're having better ideas in your sleep than the actual government. The
government are having. Yeah, no, absolutely. So, yeah, they're like, Oedipus, come back to Thebes. And he's like, absolutely fucking not.
Quite right.
But Eteocles isn't vacating the throne. His year is up, and Polynices is not a happy chappy. So he fucks off and marries a princess and gets a big fuck-off army, and he's about to march on Thebes. So Oedipus dies. Creon won't tell Antigone where he's buried. It's near Athens, so Athens gets the blessing of where Oedipus died. So we are the blessing. Athens continues to enjoy its blessings.
I think
as...
it might be down to double figures amount of days.
Oh my god. Have you? Yeah. I'm so excited for us to go. I've bought lots of cute clothes. I'm so excited to see all of like the agora and everything. Oh,
we're
I'm just
gonna
be
so
like
many like really wanky like travel pictures.
Yeah, I'm just gonna be
Instagram.
Like having like a history wank over Athena for the whole time we're there. So yeah, like Athens gets the blessing and Antigone goes back to 96. Thebes to try and like broker a peace between her two brothers. By the time she gets there, all fucking hell has broken loose. So
this is what happens when men run things.
This is what happens when men.
Fair.
What was I said to you the other day? Why do I continue to men?
Yeah.
They're not so bad just now. Like they're doing all right.
They're doing all right. They're sending us all right, people.
They're not annoying me this week, so they can. Don't give me that face. I feel like every time I have sex now, somebody's like, you can talk about it in the podcast. I got that again.
I feel like they want our 15 minutes of fame.
They do. They at want, this point. This guy wants to hear a review on podcast. I'm not doing it.
No.
It was good. I don't know, I was really drunk, so he's going to be like, whoa, when he, like, has sex with me when I'm sober and coordinated. Oof. So, like...
Nobody's ready.
So, yeah, that'll be interesting. I can't wait for that episode.
I love how though that's a definite. You're speaking about that indefinite.
Oh my god!
Definite declarative sentences.
Get off my back. Yeah, I would definitely like. I definitely want to have sex with him again. He's really cool.
No, I'm not saying that's surprising. I'm just saying that like, that'll be interesting for him. Maybe.
Oh, I mean.
In a good way.
Maybe.
Good
I don't
news.
Know. I feel like he
good
knows
news.
That I want to have sex with him again. We had good sex.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Not live this time, thank
yeah,
God.
That's good. yeah, no, Pavlov was out in force.
Oh, holy shit.
So...
I'm so jealous right now. I'm having, like, a full textbook endometriosis period. And I'm just like... Mate. That similar.
Oh my God,
like,
oh my God.
Ever...
Before I had sex with him, like, a couple days before I had sex, I made myself come.
Oh, well
like,
done.
Huge, like, gushing of an orgasm. Whoa. Like, fucking had to change my bed sheets. Whoa. Like, I was like, oh my god. Like, I put out an all-points bulletin. I texted you. I texted, like, four of my friends. And I was like, I came by my own hand.
It honestly will never stop fascinating me.
But,
that,
like, literally, like, it took no time at all when
like,
I was with that
I'm
guy.
I'm actually, like, on board. I'll have a wank.
I know. If I have
done.
A wank, like, I have to take, like, a two-hour window. Like, it takes me so fucking long.
That's
and,
so interesting.
Like, I have aphantasia, so I need to, like, watch something in order to get myself over the line. But then when I'm actually getting myself over the line, I can't watch anything. Like, it's so intricate.
Yeah.
And it takes so long. Which is interesting, because when I did have sex with that guy, like, it took maybe, like, 5 minutes. And
yeah. So interesting.
He had to change
to
his bed sheets. Like
so interesting. I'm, like, the full opposite. Well, I'm not the full opposite. It's not difficult, but it's harder with someone else.
I guess I just really like having sex. So, like, having sex itself.
But I don't know.
Like, no, I know, but, like, just, for me,
yeah.
Like, it's more, it's preferable for me
yeah,
than, like, being on my own. Like, sex is a team sport for me, and...
Oh, I enjoy... No, I
and
agree
I think,
with that. I think I'm... And I get more satisfaction from it if it's from someone else.
Yeah.
But it is slightly more difficult to happen.
Yeah.
But when it does happen, I'm like, it's a nicer...
Yeah.
Because it has just become, like, almost like a boredom exercise for me.
See,
so it's
maybe,
not exactly,
yeah.
like, amazing. It's just, like, something to do.
It's, oh, man, it takes me so long that there's no point in doing it unless, like... That's why I went so long without wanking, because I was like, I just don't have the man hours to... to put into this endeavour right now. Like, but I came another. I haven't wanked since. See, because I had a decent shag. Like, I haven't wanked since. I'm like,
oh, see, that again, like, is a different. Because, like, I could be having sex every day and I'll probably do it just because I feel like it.
Oh, so
the two things are completely separate. Separate work streams for me.
No,
if I'm gonna go man hours, I'm gonna go work streams.
I love this. I love this.
Why do all of these just become like sex therapy for the listeners?
Mate, if they need this, then they're as broken as us.
We should normalise that.
Yeah, 100%. Like,
women don't talk like this enough.
Yeah, I think it's weird that I grew up like being ashamed of masturbation when I'm like, no, that's what taught me how to have Pavlov's puss. Like, I know exactly how to get someone to make me come because I've put in the work to figure that out myself.
Yeah, definitely. Like, the one time I spoke to a friend of mine who was like, she was basically telling me she was struggling to like come with someone else,
uh-huh,
and she like never had. Uh-huh. The first thing I said to her was like about like masturbation, and she was like, oh, I never have done that either. And I'm like, well, there's your problem.
There's your issue. I remember being 18 maybe and talking to a boy who was like, I'm gonna make you come, and I was like, no, you're not. No, you're fucking not. Because at that point in my life, mm-hmm, I genuinely thought the female orgasm didn't exist. Like, and I'd Googled it, and obviously when you Google something, you're already skewing your results. So when you Google, does the female orgasm exist, you're going to find, no, it doesn't. And even though you'll find, yes, mm-hmm, it does, you're only going to pay attention, mm-hmm, to the answers, like, as you do with every Google search. 100%. Like, you skew your own research.
Yeah.
And
Confirmation bias.
And so I'd convinced myself, because no one had ever made me come, and at that point I hadn't really masturbated, that orgasms didn't exist. So maybe Pavlov's puss is just, maybe the fact that I'm like, I am going to come, oh my god, I need to tell you this story. Maybe the fact that I'm like, I'm going to come on you.
It's so HD right now, I love it.
Maybe the fact I'm like, I'm going to come on you is me making up for lost time. So
maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, oh my god, are we only allotted a certain quota of orgasms in a lifetime?
Is it like her eggs?
I fucking hope not.
One for one.
Because I'm fucked in that case. Because literally, I'm like, honestly, it's a boredom exercise. And I've mentioned in previous podcasts, I was like a legitimate child.
Yeah, mate, you're so running out.
I never associated it with I never associated it with sex.
So maybe,
and that's
why
it's two different work streams.
Yeah. So for me, like, I masturbated after
having sex. Masturbation is just an activity.
We are talking about wanking again.
This should be just called, like,
wanking.
Wanking.
But also Ashley sometimes talks about Greek myths.
Yeah.
I need to tell you the most embarrassing moment of my life. Okay. Oh my god, I can't believe it. He's going to listen to this. So, why am I talking? So, we were playing beer pong, and I was, at this point, I don't think I was losing yet. I ended up losing spectacularly. I don't think I was losing yet. And drunk Ashley has, like, the biggest big dick energy in the world. Like, you've seen me. Like,
I have.
Nothing can touch me. And I was about to take my shot. And I can't remember what we were talking about. But I told him I was going to come on his face. I literally was like, I'm going to come on your face. And then took my shot. And I missed. I missed so spectacularly. And I was like, fucking fate. Like,
oh my god,
I had it all going for me.
Did you have the confidence of a mediocre white man?
I had the, oh my god. We have had some mediocre white man confidence this week, haven't we?
No one is more confident
than that guy.
Well, than mediocre white men, but that guy
in
particular.
There's one mediocre white man who insists on sliding into my DMs every couple of days, despite me having ghosted him like 500 times. He for some reason thinks like, yeah, no, this is the time, like, I'll just keep going and she'll relent. No, she won't.
The audacity is off the scale.
Off the scale. And I'm not gonna block him again, because I'm like, it's an inspiration.
As a fairly insecure person, like, I can only dream of that level of, like, confidence.
I know, I'm just like, it's an inspiration, like, the tenacity that he is showing and the unwillingness to take no for an answer. Wow, like, and also, like, the brazen self-confidence of thinking that, like, because he keeps pretending that, like, nothing's happened and being like, hey, buddy, and I'm like, no, I'm not your fucking buddy.
I am in awe.
It's brilliant. So, yeah, where was I in the story?
men were fucking shit up and Antigone was trying to fix it.
Oh, right, so she goes back to Thebes and all hell's broken loose. Mm-hmm. Alexa, lamp on. Sorry, it's a bit dark in here.
Okay.
I know, everything in this house is automated.
You said something about or to Alexa in a voice note that you sent me the other day, and it triggered my Alexa when I played it.
You're going to make her go because you just said her name twice.
Sorry.
Yeah, so she gets there and, like, everything's, like, a mess. So Polynices came with his army, and he and Eteocles ended up going hand-to-hand in single combat, and they killed each other.
Family, man.
Brothers.
Like, they can pick your friends.
Yeah, they ended up killing each other.
Oh, dear.
And Creon is now king of Thebes.
Okay.
This is not good. None of this is good.
None of this is good.
So, Antigone is going wild with grief, as you would be. Like, think of everything she's been through.
Yeah.
Her mother hung herself. Her dad gouged out his eyes when he found out that he was also her brother. And now her two brothers have murdered each other. Like, can you imagine, like, has this family not been through enough and now we're slaughtering, like, each other?
There's a limit on trauma.
Yeah, and she's not reached it yet. So, I know. So...
I feel that.
Creon's in charge, and he decrees that Eteocles be given a full state burial with all the honours. Now, this is important, so I really love talking about this. This is, the ancient Greeks were big on death rituals.
Yeah.
Big on death rituals. So basically they believed that when you died, Thanatos would come, cut off a lock of your hair, and your soul would exit your body. Your body would stay to decompose on the earth, be cremated, and you would have to be mourned. So the women would, like, rend their garments off, like, pull out their hair as a performative act. Yeah, like, yeah. as almost like a choreographed performative act of grief. Yeah. And that was very much part of the procession. You would have a coin put under your tongue.
Okay.
Your dead body. And there's a really, really big reason for this. Mm. Like, this burial...
I think I know what this is.
Do you? So Thanatos would lead you down to the banks of the River Styx.
To pay!
And you would pay your ferryman!
Yeah. Why did you do that?
Chiron was the ferryman who would ferry you across the River Styx. And
Chiron's one of the asteroids or meteors or whatever it is that's relevant in the birth chart.
Oh, interesting. So yeah, he would row you across the River Styx.
Uh-huh.
If you didn't have proper burial rites, if you weren't buried, it wasn't just the coin.
Yeah.
It was the whole burying, the grieving, like the whole ritual.
Yeah.
If you weren't buried, then your soul would be left on the banks of the Styx for eternity. And that was like, you were cheating Hades, and that was not okay. Like, it was like a really gross crime against the gods. And it wasn't, it was like, you know, like, real hubris shit. Like, if someone didn't get a burial, that was, like, not okay with any of the gods because you weren't paying the proper respect.
Right, okay.
And, you'd come across the river.
There's lots of that in, like, ancient, like, in Egypt stuff, isn't there? About the, like, organs and all the rest
And the... Canopticons?
Yeah, I don't know, they have to go in the jar.
My little boy's, like, pretty into...
Do they weigh your heart?
He's pretty into his ancient Egypt. We'll ask him, our little paleontologist who was teaching us about dinosaurs earlier. He's so smart, it's terrifying.
I come here to learn about dinosaurs. It's like, I literally...
From a three-year-old.
Right?
I said today, I was like, he could pass a first-year paleontology degree if he could write.
He
can write his name.
Well, okay. He could get a scribe and pass it there.
And once you'd get across the River Styx, I might as well go into all of the... I think we've talked about this, actually.
A little bit.
You'd see Fluffy, Cerberus, our boy, Spot. And you could go by because you'd had your proper burial rites. Mm. If you haven't, you're breaking in and he will fucking stop you. He will fucking stop you.
I was going to say, like, what happened to you if you didn't, but yeah.
Cerberus is a three-headed, massive dog. Yeah, he'd fucking murk you, mate. And you would get to, like, this path with three forks in the road. And if you were great and good, you would go to the Elysium Fields where the sun always shone. if you were bad, terrible, shit human, you would go to Tartarus, where you would have a punishment. So there were, I mean, they were great at punishments. Tantalus was made to look at a table of food that he could never eat and went an eternity, even now can't eat, starving in front of this huge table of food. Sisyphus is rolling a boulder up a mountain, and every time it gets near the top, it rolls back down.
I'm smirking because I literally said to someone the other day about what mine would be.
What's your, like, what's your Tartarus?
If there's a hell prepared for me because I'm an actual cycle, it is having sent a risky text and being left on read for eternity.
I like that. Do you know what I think mine would be? I would be at...
And just looking at it, just watching the read message forever.
I would be at a party with someone I don't really know and listening to them crunch crisps. There is nothing that makes my teeth itch more than the sound of another human crunching. It makes me irrationally angry. It makes me want to punch. And that's an ADHD thing.
I was just going to say, because Aaron has it really bad. That's my ex. He's got ADHD as well.
Misophonia. Makes my blood itchy. Yeah. Like, I hate the sound of people crunching.
I have a tiny bit, but it's not the same.
Honestly, one time a guy took me on a first date to the cinema, and I was like, I'm going to fucking hook this guy. He had M&Ms and I was like, like, I couldn't breathe. It was awful. So yeah, like, that's the under... Oh, and the last one, 80% of people go down this fork in the road, and that's to the Asphodel Meadows, where your memories of Earth are completely wiped. Like, you have no likes, no dislikes, nothing. You are just a shade.
So it's like, just like heaven, hell and purgatory-ish.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. That's kind of where we get that idea from. And you just kind of wander around the meadows of Asphodel for eternity, neither here nor there. And obviously Hades is the lord of the underworld. My favourite Greek god, Idris Elba, get inside Hades. Me. So Eteocles is getting his full burial. Mm-hmm. Creon's giving him all the honours due. And Creon decrees that Polynices will be left out for the animals.
Why? Any particular reason?
Because Polynices wasn't in charge of Thebes at that point. So Polynices is an invading force.
But arguably should have been.
Well, yeah.
Because he wouldn't give up the throne.
But he was always, you know, no matter who was on the throne, he's a prince of Thebes.
Yeah, exactly.
But he apparently is the instigator. And if he hadn't marched on Thebes, he's a traitor. And therefore he's to be left out in the open, unburied, on pain of death.
Honestly, families. Like,
men! Men!
Well, yeah, but family.
On pain of death. So, like, if anyone buries Polynices, right, you put your hand down there for
I
her to get.
I tried to unhook her from my leggings, and then she got my sweater.
Okay, fine. So he is just, like, on pain of death, nobody buries Polynices, and he gets left out for the animals to eat him. So his shade will wander forever on the banks of the River Styx with all of the lost souls who never made it to Hades.
That makes me, like, irrationally sad.
Isn't it? It made Ismene irrationally sad. She was heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
And it made Antigone angry.
Okay.
Do you see how that's me and you?
Yeah.
Like, you see how that's us?
Yeah.
Ismene was heartbroken. She was just so disappointed in Creon. And so disappointed in her brothers and just in her life. Now, Antigone, bit of important information that will become important. She's engaged to Haemon, who is Creon's son. Because apparently marrying your cousin after your dad's married your mum. After your brother's married your mum.
They seem to have learned lots of lessons.
Yeah, no, but I mean, cousins are fine. It doesn't count if it's your first cousin.
No, any of your cousins, any of your first cousins.
Exactly. So he's our first cousin, it's fine. Antigone gets up before everyone else in the house, and she goes out, and she fucking grabs a handful of dirt and throws it over Polynices' body. Now, this is enough. This is enough. This,
oh, okay.
This counts as a burial. She gets a couple of handfuls of dirt and she throws it over his body, and the guards come and they're like, oh, shit, like, it's Antigone. So they drag her in to Creon, and Creon's like, Gonny, no, do that. And she's like, I'm gonna finish the job. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna make sure, I'm gonna get that coin in his mouth, I'm gonna get him properly buried, like, fucking try me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like,
fight me,
Antigone, you can't do this. Like, I've said, on pain of death, and I don't want to kill you.
She's like,
you're my niece, you're a princess of Thebes. Like, my hands are tied to you, Antigone. And she's like, oh, well, then I die. And Creon's like, no, why don't we just get you to marry Haemon really quick? Go to your bed, say you were sick. We don't need to talk about how you tried to bury your brother. It wasn't enough. So he's not, his soul is going to be still stuck in the banks. We're all good. No harm, no foul. Let's just forget about it. And she's like, you disgust me. She was like, I can't. And this is when, like, I'm like, you know, she's an absolute bratty sub. She's like, I can't pretend that I'm not going to go and bury him, because you're a fucking megalomaniac, and you have decided that your word is more important. You, King of Thebes, are more important than the edicts set by our gods. And he's like, well, I'm the king here, not Zeus. Which, I mean, things to never say.
I was gonna say, like, surely Zeus can, like, hear that.
Well, you know, hubris is by far the worst crime that you can commit. Like, as soon as you decide that you're better or more important than any god in any way, no matter how insignificant, they are going to fuck with your shit. So the wheels are in motion for a fucking tragedy.
Oh, dear.
And he's
what
like,
a shame.
He's like, Antigone, your attitude is going to get you killed. And she's like, fucking do it. And Ismene's like, Antigone, babe, I love you, and we have been through so much after everything with mum, with dad, with our brothers. Now we're living under a tyrant. Like, can you not make me go through the death of my favourite person in the world ever? And Antigone's like, I'm sorry, but it's right. And what's right is right, and I can't change that. And Ismene's like, but... And she thinks about it. And she's, like, really upset, really torn. Ismene doesn't know the right thing to do. She doesn't have the same outgoing conviction that Antigone has.
This is where I differ from Ismene, because I would support this decision wholeheartedly.
She doesn't know, but she does support it. She supports it in principle.
Yeah.
So she supports the principle of the decision. She just doesn't want Antigone to be the one to do it.
Mm.
But she doesn't want to lose her sister.
I suppose.
Like, she supports, no, she also thinks it's fucking disgusting what Creon is doing. And Creon is an absolute tyrant. And she completely agrees with everything.
Mm-hmm.
But having Antigone killed is not the way to fix this.
Yeah.
And Antigone can't see her reasoning. And she can see Antigone's, but she knows that that's not the best course of action. And she's like, look at all you have in front of you. Like, Haemon loves you. You guys could have a beautiful life together. And Antigone's like, look, I'm the rightful queen of Thebes, I'll do what the fuck I want, okay? I'm going to bed, good night. And Ismene's just like, I can't fucking take this. So yeah, I mean, me and you are Antigone and Ismene. You're like, Ashley, can you calm down? Whenever I get a thought in my head when I'm like, oh, this person thinks like this and I think so because of that, and you're like, right, let's take it back 300 steps.
Let's break it down.
What in the name of fuck are you talking about? And quite often you'll be like, no, I agree with what you're saying. I just don't think that how you got there is the best course of action. I do think that, like, yeah, no, me and Antigone, we could do the whole bratty sub thing together. She is a literal bratty sub, though.
No,
she is subservient to Creon, King of Thebes, and she's a brat. Whereas I'm just,
just a brat.
Just a brat, really.
You are, but you're good at it.
I am. Well, I think, I don't think it's, like, me naturally being good at bratting and antagonising a more dominant partner. I think it's just that I'm a wee dick. Like, I'm just a handful, and it's nice that that's got a name.
I think you sell yourself short. I think you're just naturally like that.
Yeah.
Like, bratty sub is just, like, your natural state.
Yeah. I think a lot of people misunderstand, like, what that means.
Yeah, no, totally.
Like, people and don't get it. Happens quite a lot when I have sex with people and I'll be like, I'm not doing that. And they're like, okay. I'm like, no. No, like, you have to make me. I want you to make me.
I hate when people don't get it.
You've never bratted in your life.
No, but people don't get the whole thing. Like, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. People are just boring.
No, it's not boring. Different strokes for different folks. Like, you're very much,
I mean, like
you're
having,
like,
to explain it to someone is boring.
You're, like, hardcore, like, good girl. Oh, 100%. Like, you do what you're told, when you're 100%. Told to do it. Like, I...
But it's all a trauma response.
But like, you... Yeah, I would find that boring.
Mm-hmm.
It's the power struggle. I really fucking love a power struggle.
No, I like the validation and the praise.
I mean, and I this is the thing,
have
though,
no trust that I'll get that if I don't do it first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was, like, not loved. I'm, like, full borderline.
Oh, see,
so, I have to do good.
Yeah.
Or I won't get
See, I
loved.
Just really love a power struggle, but I also really like praise.
Mm-hmm.
So for when I do give in, or...
You're literally me with extra steps.
Yeah, like... like, if you can subdue me,
mm-hmm.
and... shut my mouth long enough to put your dick in it, like, congratulations, tell me I'm pretty, like, yeah. tell yeah. me I'm good, like,
no, I need, like, the path of least resistance to, like, immediate validation.
Oh, no, path of most resistance, like, if you are going to dominate me, you're going to fucking work for it, you are going to work so hard, you're going to be so frustrated.
That's so interesting. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah. It's because I've never had any, I guess it's the same as you, but I've never had any objection to, like, I've got really great parents, like, I've always been loved,
yeah,
so
no,
I can be
totally...
as much of an arsehole yeah. as I like.
No, I...
But also, I think for me, like, submitting to someone,
mm-hmm.
I can't do that without, I guess, testing the boundaries.
Yeah.
And I can't fully submit to someone unless I know, like, where the line is.
I think
and...
I do that groundwork. Emotionally, like, it comes before I even
yeah no I want to I like seeing how far I can push a person, and
so, like, I'm then I'm like, sure,
like, if submitting to me, I don't yeah. do it until I'm very ready to,
yeah,
so it's like I will be the ultimate handful, and then I will submit, and it's like a big reward, because then I
yeah.
get lots of praise and congratulations to everyone who involved and whoever made me submit.
Oh, I get that.
But it does also mean that I don't do it often. Like, I very
well,
rarely
I
will
say,
submit to anyone.
I've never really fully inhabited this headspace
uh-huh.
until now. And I wonder if that's to do with the only person I've, like, trusted to get to understand it.
Yeah.
Enough to, like, do it.
Yeah. When I was much younger, the only time where, like, it's been like, no, we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not bratting,
mm-hmm.
and that's not happening, and that is not an option. And I was just like, oh, wow, I just came.
Right.
Like,
no, I get that.
Like, I think as part of it is, like, I'm a really big, strong personality.
Yeah.
As we've mentioned, like, been talking about this mm-hmm. entire episode, like, I'm a fucking force, like, and that's not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah.
So I like... to know that someone can withstand that force.
Okay.
And I like being bettered. Like,
yeah.
I like that, like, the word that I use all the time that you're like, oh my god, badinage. And I like that, like, and
yeah,
I like
no,
knowing,
yeah.
I like knowing that someone can handle all of me
yeah.
and can out fucking force me.
That's, it makes total sense.
Yeah.
And it makes total sense for me and, like, my, like, because, like, we joke about the dad, like, you hate it, right?
I actually
but,
don't.
Like,
I've done daddy
people,
lots of times,
yeah,
like.
No. But, like, people that don't get it. Oh
my god, that one-liner that I hit out with this week.
Oh, yeah.
I'll talk
no.
about it in a second.
People that don't get it don't understand that it comes from, like, a, like, they call it, like, a caregiver, like, role, because
uh-huh.
I need to be taken care of emotionally.
In order
it's
to
so
open
much
up.
Not just a sex
No,
thing.
100%.
I feel like almost more so with that kind of dom. They have to look after you.
Yeah.
Like, emotionally.
Yeah.
Like, I am literally baby.
Yeah.
And if you do that well enough, then I'll do anything you fucking want.
Yeah. Whereas, I'm a handful. Yeah. And if you can handle that, mm-hmm. I will do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. Like, so it's you want if you prove to me that you're worth it.
Yeah.
My one-liner this week, you're going to fucking love this. So
I can't wait.
My ex-husband texted me and he was like, how are the kids, blah, 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 which he only does when he wants an argument. He has been itching for an argument all week. Fucking, he got it today.
When is Aries season over?
He was like, how are the kids? And I was like, great, we're just watching Hamilton because my kids are obsessed with Hamilton. My little boy was like, I hadn't realised when he watched it the first time, he was like, Mum, they've got brown hair and brown skin and curly hair like me. Like, I could be in this show. I was bawling my eyes out and I was like, yes, right. Yes, you can.
Yes.
Yes, you can. And that's why representation
he's
is
gonna be,
so important.
And I can't wait to go and see him in it.
Oh, me and you will be front row as he plays Aaron Burr. Yep. I was like, oh, we're just watching Hamilton. And he was like, oh, are you watching it for David Diggs? I mean, that's something I'd like to choke on. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to tell the kids that's their new dad. And he went off on one at me. He was like, how dare you? I am their father. Even if you meet someone else, I will always be their father. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but like, chill out. And he's like, you have no respect for me, blah, blah, blah. And I, instead of reading it and responding, I just texted back with, Jesus Christ, can you imagine if my dad reacted like this every time I'd called another man daddy?
Oh my God.
And I thought, that is the best one-liner ever. And that was the end of that argument.
The full existential dread I would have if my extremely conservative, like, fucked up narcissist parents ever knew that I even had sex, let alone sex that wasn't pure vanilla.
My dad would be so upset if he had heard that line. My dad would be horrified. Not me, like, he would just be so like, oh my God, why is she like this? Probably not hugely surprised though. My parents have met me.
Well, I was going to say, like, if they had any understanding of anything, they would realise I'm like that because of them.
Yeah. I don't even have that excuse. My parents are fucking great. So where were we on our story? Oh yeah, so Antigone creeps out first thing in the morning.
Yep.
And she fucking buries Polynices.
Yes!
Become
ungovernable!
Yeah,
it's Aries season.
That's what she did. She full on buries him and she creeps back in and Ismene's there and she's like, Antigone, I've been thinking overnight, I've not slept a wink. Let's do it. Let's do it together.
Aww.
I'm ready. And she's like, Ismene, go to your room, darling. It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine.
And I'm going to
cry. And Ismene's like, what? No, I want to go bury Polynices. And Antigone's like, it's okay. I did it. Creon and his guards come thundering in. Mm. And they're like, what did you do? And she goes, meh, buried Polynices. What exactly are you going to do about it? And
I love this bitch.
Creon's hands are tied. Like, he's made this edict that,
he's made it. He can fucking unmake it.
But if he unmakes it, then it undermines him as king. And his role as king...
Check your ego.
...to him is more important than his role as a subject of the gods. And so he decides that...
The small dick energy.
He decides that Antigone is going to be immured. Now, that means she's... Do you know what that means?
Vaguely.
It means that she's going to be put in a cave, and that cave is going to be blocked up with rocks, and she's just going to stay there till she suffocates. Which I think is fucking horrific.
Excellent.
Like, that is gross. So...
Yeah.
That's her punishment. That's how she's going to die. And she doesn't fight it.
They fucking loved, like, really brutal, like, fucked up torture methods of death in all of the ancient civilizations.
Yeah. I feel like in ancient Greece, they really loved kind of passive means of death.
Just leave you places.
If she's immured, guess what that means? She's not going to get a fucking burial either, is she? She's going to be blocked up in a cave.
Oh. Clever.
Yeah, Creon, fucking learn a lesson. So
this
he
guy
sentences Antigone to die. And they block her up in a cave. And they hear a moan and Thebes is rioting. People are going crazy. Like, how fucking dare you, Creon? This is this is a crime against the gods.
I love that, to be fair.
You are gonna bring plague upon the city.
I love the people for that.
They are a braying mob. And he's like, okay, open the cave, fine. They pull the rocks away, and Antigone is swinging from a rope. She decided that death wasn't going to be how she went. She was not going to let him control her end, and she hung herself. Haemon sees the body, and he runs himself through.
Oh my god!
With his sword.
Fucking Hamlet, mate.
And then Creon's obviously like, holy shit. And he goes in to the palace and he's like, I need to find Eurydice. I need to find her. Like, we've lost our son. And he goes up to her room. Eurydice is also hanging. Once she found out her son was dead, she killed herself too. So Creon is literally just sitting in this. And he was warned. Tiresias warned him, if you go through with this, everything you love will be gone. And he was like, I've made up my mind. I can't go back on it now.
How do I get an appointment with Tiresias?
Do you want Tiresias or Tiresia? Because they're very different appointments. Mm. One's a shagger, one's a prophecier. So yeah, that's the story of Antigone.
Oh, my God.
It's such a sad ending.
Like, yeah, like, I always say, like, oh, I'm going to cry, but that's, like, the closest I've come to actually crying.
I mean, I really hammed that up on the dramatics when I was telling it as well.
Like, that is, like, full, like,
tragedy. Do you want an interesting fact before we sign off?
Mm.
So in the play by Sophocles, and in all ancient Greek plays, it was considered unlucky to show death on stage, which is why all the deaths happen somewhere else. So Antigone was in the cave, Eurydice was in her room, Eurydice was in her room, Haemon went into the palace. Like, you couldn't show death on stage, it was a bad omen.
It's like one of those theatre things, isn't it?
Uh-huh. And then you had the Greek chorus as well, which played a very important role in Greek theatre.
Oh, yeah.
They were basically, like, the narrators, but they told you all of the information that the characters didn't. So, like, all of the subtext and exposition was all told through Greek chorus, and they know all the things that all the characters don't. So, like, when Creon's like, who the fuck buried Polynices? The Greek chorus are like, hey, audience, it was Antigone.
The Muses
and Hercules are a traditional Greek chorus, which is one of the things I really like about Hercules. And of course, you've got the Greek chorus in the Legally Blonde musical as well.
I've never seen that.
Oh, we're going to watch it together.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's Antigone.
That is like a whole ass tragedy.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, especially
I was not expecting.
Coming off the back of Oedipus as well.
I don't know why, but I just wasn't expecting that one to be a tragedy.
Well, there you go. Come back next week. We'll have some more myths. Maybe I'll tell you about some of those people that we mentioned and their punishments, and maybe talk about how they got there, or maybe we'll talk about hubris and what happens when you say you're better than the gods. I don't know. I make this up as I go along. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Please remember to give us 5 stars and a review if you liked us. If you hated us, get to fuck. Have a lovely week. Goodbye.
Bye.